कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण, कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा, हरे कृष्णा हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा
कृष्णा हरे हरे,
हरे राम हरे राम
राम हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण
कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्ण
हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे,
हरे
राम 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 राम
हरे हरे,
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे
हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे,
हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे,
जय राधे जय कृष्ण जय वृंदावन श्री गोविंद गोपीनाथ मदन मोहन, जय राधे बलराम जय वृंदावन धाम, बलराम नित्य गौरंग जय नित्य गौरंग, हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल हरे बोल, पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की श्रील प्रभुपाद जय। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकया चक्षुः उन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमावों विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So we welcome all of you for the Behavioral Science for Youth session today, this evening, for the session on remaining steady in times of difficulty. You can show this thing, slide. All of us can be very steady in our life when everything goes very smoothly. Life is like a bed of roses. Everything is smooth sailing. When things are not steady, in difficulty, and that is really a testing period for us. Like once when we were in Kanyakumari, we boarded the boat in the bank of the ocean. As soon as we entered the boat, it was a very large, boat with lot of width and length. So as soon as we entered in, the boat started toppling practically. It appeared it's going to go upside down and throw all of us into the water. And we didn't know how deep was the ocean. So as soon as we entered, when the boat toppled, we were about 15-20 of us, and everybody started screaming, all the families, husband, wife, children, everybody. But the boatman was smiling. He was the only one who had no fear. Because when the boat would go like this, you know, he was keeping his one leg stretched and one leg bent. And when he toppled the other way, he stretched that leg out and this leg he bent it. So he said, nothing to fear. This is what happens when you come into the boat. But once you are in, when we start moving, it will be all right. Don't worry, he said. So the reason is, that boatman has been there for the last 15-20 years. And he is used to boating. And he has no issues. So, he can very confidently boat. And for us, it's a new thing for us. First time you are getting into a boat, you are only used to walking on the road. When you get into a boat, suddenly you are shocked. And he knows, he's practiced to move in the boat. So the practice of Krishna consciousness in the times of difficulty will make us stronger. If you are really intelligent, even in difficult times, you will not give up Krishna consciousness. Rather, you will convert the difficulty into an opportunity for further growing. Just like a weightlifter. Initially he lifts some, maybe 30-40 pounds he lifts. Later on his teacher will tell him to add, you know, little more weight. And then he is able to add a lot of weight. Maybe 100 pounds, 120 pounds he is able to lift. So his weightlifting ability increases over period of practice. Same way, in this world, when there are difficulties, how do we face the difficulties and continue with our Krishna consciousness? There are many materialistic people who will tell you that to strive, to seek, to find and not to yield. This is a poem by Ulysses. Work hard and there is nothing on earth that you cannot achieve. If you think you can win, you can win. These kind of things people talk. Like you will find, and they quote the example of one Robert Bruce. He lost the war. He went to the forest. He went inside a cave and he saw a spider making a web, going round and round and round. It was falling again and again. So it was falling repeatedly. So 7 times it fell down. And then 8th time it climbed up and it could make a net. So seeing that, this king became inspired because he also failed in the war 7 times. So he said, I will try the 8th time and I will win the battle. So of course he went with great confidence and he won the battle. So people say that, just see, he saw the spider and learnt a lesson. Therefore all you need in life is only confidence, like the people talk. Actually this is a very foolish philosophy, I'll tell you why very soon. These kind of motivational seminars which talk about, you know, if you think you can win, you can win. If you are confident, you can win. Be very bold. Don't be bogged down by the negativities around you and everything. Actually, although it appears that by a positive mindset, you can always be a winner in life. Let me tell you another example, it will make it clear for you. Say somebody comes to Pune station. He gets out of the Pune station and he has the map of Leh Meridian Hotel. But Leh Meridian Hotel map is a Bombay map. In Bombay also Leh Meridian, you know, it's there, not near the station, it's far away from the station. But he has that map. When he gets down in Pune, with that map he boards a car. And then he is trying to find out Leh Meridian. Will he be able to find out? Let us assume that he has a very, very positive thinking. He has a very positive attitude, he is very confident, he is not going to accept any failure, he is going to drive the car. No matter how positive he may be going all around Pune, he will not find it. Whereas Leh Meridian and Pune is just by the side of the Pune station. Just behind the Pune, you will not find it. Except that place, he will go everywhere in Pune because he has a wrong map. So first of all, you need what? The right map is scripture. So when you have Gita, Bhagavatam with you and you study that, after studying the scriptures, you get the right map of life. And then if you are positive in life, then it makes sense. For example, if I have the Leh Meridian map of Pune, and then along with that map, I board a car, immediately you take a U-turn and bring me to the Leh Meridian Hotel, which is just by the side of the Pune station. It's very easy. But with a wrong map, materialistic people have a wrong map of life. For example, if I tell you another example, it will become very clear. Just today morning I was hearing from Srila Prabhupada's lecture. Very funny example. Prabhupada says, he says, people who have booked first class ticket, they will board which bogie in the train? First class they will board. And people who did not book any ticket, last minute they decided to go, they have to go in an unreserved compartment. I had experience like that once. Once I had to go to Calcutta. Somehow or other we made a ticket, we cancelled it, we changed our plan. Finally we again planned to go. So we boarded the train, it was Durga Puja holidays. The train was heavily loaded and we were in unreserved bogie. You can imagine how the life must be. Life would be hellish in the train. Such heavy crowds of people sitting all over, everywhere you see people all around, up, down, everywhere. So if you are going in an unreserved bogie and going in a first class bogie, it's not the same, although the train is same. Because you have booked the first class, you go comfortably. But if you haven't booked, you have to go in unreserved. Is it not true? Similarly, your Purva Janma Punya is like a first class bogie. Purva Janma Papa is like a unreserved bogie. So, in this world you will find some people have a very comfortable life. They have a handsome body, they are born in a rich family, they are highly educated. Like we say, they are born with a silver spoon. There are yet others who may be born in a poor family with diseases, with, you know, they may be illiterate and they may be struggling. So, both types of people you see in this world. But what Prabhupada is saying, whether life brings you struggles or whether life brings you comfort, in both the situations, you have opportunity to remember Krishna or forget Krishna. For example, Bharapparam Pattakirita Jushtam Nanamen Mukundam Api Uttamangam Shavav Karav No Kurute Sapariyam Karav Kankana Lanchanat Kankanava. He is saying that Bharapparam Pattakirita Jushtam. If a man is wearing a heavy turban on his head, and the turban can be a bharam, a weight on his head. If it is too heavy, it won't be comfortable. Similarly, a man who is very rich, handsome, highly educated, becomes very proud and does not bow down to Lord Krishna, then such a person's post and position eventually will become a big burden for him. He will become arrogant, he will become harsh, he will lord over people, boss over people. Eventually, he will lose that position. So there are many examples in Shastras of people who became proud of their beauty, like Nalakur Manigrihi. They got a tree's body in the next life. Indra was very proud of his opulences. He lost all his opulences, practically became a beggar once. So rich people also have problem. And if somebody is struggling with poverty and different difficulties, but in that poverty, if they are remembering Krishna, they have opportunity to get elevated also. Correct, no? So what Prabhupada is saying in that lecture, don't worry about whether you are poor or rich. Deha yogena dehina. Your karma brings forth your life and comforts and difficulties. But in both comforts and difficulties, you will pass the test if you take shelter of Lord Krishna. That's all you have to do. And then you are considered studying. On the other hand, most materialistic people will tell you, oh, you are poor, we will teach you how to become rich. Okay, a poor man becomes rich. What did he gain? 20, 30 years down the line, he will leave everything behind and go. We all come with empty hands and go out of this world with empty hands. So such material success is very short-lived. But so many motivational seminars are being given on how a not-so-smart boy can become a smart boy, or how can not-so-rich person can become a rich person. They are only talking about material success. So therefore, in today's session, we are going to talk about how even when there are difficult times, we can remain steady in our Krishna consciousness, steady in our material duties also, and tolerate the difficulties, and we will also learn how to get strength to tolerate the difficulties and not commit suicide or not run away from duty or not become discouraged or disturbed or disheartened. All the three D's are bad. And disturbed means you become agitated by passion. And discouraged means you give up your initiatives. And disheartened means you go into depression. All are bad. So how to avoid all these three D's and go on with life cheerfully, even in difficulty? So that you will learn in this seminar today. Because we all do face difficulties in our life. Nobody can deny that. Prabhupada says in Kunti Maharani's purport, danger must be there because we have put ourselves in a dangerous position. Like that he says. So material world is a dangerous place. Padam padam yati padam natesham. It is said in material world at every moment there is a danger. Somebody is walking on the road, a truck comes very fast, pat, it hits him. Next moment he falls off the road. In a valley or something, he hits the head and dies on the spot. It has happened to many people. The body is so fragile. Kamala dalajala, jivana talamala. Anytime, somebody can die in an accident, somebody can die by some disease, or somebody can get so frustrated in life, they may commit suicide. So the material world has many dangers in this world. Or somebody may not die but get a terrible accident or something, break the leg or hand or something. So one should know that while living in this material world, when difficulties come, how do we face them maturely? This is a very famous modern day disease of the stress. Everybody is under stress. So how to stop stressing and how can a devotee handle the stress during upheavals? The word upheaval means difficult times. Actually, many times when we succeed in life, we jump like a monkey very happily. But we also have to learn how to face failures with courage. Because when failures come, people become broken-hearted, they get stressed and everything. So this seminar will teach that. Please read it.
The practice of Krishna consciousness do not exempt us from the turbulence of the material world, but they can surely help us to get through it.
If you practice Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna every day regularly, your willpower is certainly increasing. In the early days, you might have difficulty to chant even one full mala, which will take about 15-20 minutes. When years pass, you can chant 2 rounds, 4 rounds, devotees come even up to 16 rounds, and they chant a couple of hours. Can you imagine 1 round was difficult, now you chant, how many? 16. That means the willpower has increased. For you to be able to sit and peacefully chant 16 rounds every day, you are able to do that duty successfully. So, there are so many boys who ask you, hey, why are you so cowardly? Why don't you hold a cigarette? You are an engineer. At least you should learn how to hold it. Do you have the guts to hold it? You can ask them, do you have the guts to hold the bead bag? You tell them, I am chanting 16 rounds, just chant 4 rounds, sit here. They cannot sit. If they sit in 2 minutes, they will get up. You will see that. So therefore, you will see, they think they have guts to go to the beer bar and drink liquor or smoke cigarette or roam with a woman. They think they are very having big guts, but that is not a great guts. Even dogs and cats are roaming with their partners. Nothing great about it. But it requires actually great willpower to be able to rise early in the morning, a chant 16 rounds, to be able to be satisfied in spiritual life. and not break the four regulative principles of meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, all these things. That means a devotee is building the inner strength to do all these things, and the very same strength will help the devotee to tolerate the upheavals without difficulty. Now, recently we heard about, you know, some students of IIT, certain IIT committing suicide, or some cinema actresses committing suicide. We hear about that. At same time, you will find Pandavas, their wife was insulted in the public. She was about to be disrobed when Krishna came and gave her unlimited sari. And one of the brothers, Bhima, was poisoned. He was saved still. And all the five Pandavas were burnt alive in Lakshagriha, but they were saved by Vidura's plan. And they were driven away to jungle by a very foul game, gambling match. And when they returned after 12 years of agreement, they were not given the kingdom. Think about it. If any of us were in the place of Pandavas, you know, we won't want to live in this world. After facing all this defeat after defeat after defeat, you will say, better find a rope, put it on top and hang yourself. But do you think Pandavas hanged themselves? So, where did the Pandavas get the strength to go on in those difficulties? They got it from Krishna. Very simple. Krishna was encouraging them in their hearts always to go on with life. And they were actually cheerful and happy even in the forest. That means if you have Krishna, you are happy. If you know Krishna, even with everything, you are not happy. Duryodhana had everything, he was not happy. He was actually ruling the kingdom, drove the Pandavas to forest, but he was not peaceful. Those 12 years he was constantly planning. Hare, these guys will come back after 12 years. When they come back, then again they will take back my kingdom. So coming 12 years, I'll make a plan not to give the kingdom back. Like this, he was always in tension. So somebody may be living in an AC room and still sweating out of tension, although they have so much money. Therefore, money doesn't bring you happiness. Money brings you stress many times. But Krishna brings you happiness. So therefore, here he says the practice of Krishna consciousness, even though you may practice, the turbulence may be there in the material world, but the Krishna consciousness will give you the strength to go through it. Pandavas actually went through it, therefore he gave that example. And I can give you many more examples of Prahlad Maharaj. I can give you example of Ambarish Maharaj. The beauty of Ambarish is, although Durvasamani created a demon to kill him, he didn't retaliate. He didn't run away. He folded the palms and remembered Lord Vishnu. But after the Sudarshan Chakra chased after Durvasa, who went to different places, and at last Lord Vishnu told him to go back to Ambarish and fall at his feet and seek forgiveness. When Durvasa fell back at his feet, what do you think Ambarish said? He didn't laugh at him or ridicule him. He didn't say that, hey sage, you know, you tried to kill me, now your life is in danger, just see. He didn't say like that. Rather, you know, he prayed to Sudarshan Chakra to relieve him. But Sudarshan was not ready. Sudarshan said, you know, I can't leave this fellow. He is trying to kill a Vaishnava like you. So I can't leave him. Then he told Sudarshan Chakra, Adharma Shila Asura Dhuma Ketave. You are supposed to kill Asuras, but he is a Brahmana. Why are you trying to kill him? Sudarshan said, what kind of Brahmana is he? He is more dangerous than Asura also. Because he is trying to kill Vaishnava, Ambarish. So then Ambarish told, all devotional service that I have done till date, I am ready to offer it to you, Sudarshan. Please take all my piety, all my spirituality, everything, and relieve this Brahmana. Then Sudarshan Chakra agreed not to kill the Brahmana Durvasa. You will see. So, and that during that 1 year period, Ambarish didn't eat anything. He was waiting for his guest Durvasa to come back home and eat. So I am telling you all this. These personalities have faced lot of challenges in their lives. Ambarish or Pandavas or Prahalad, all these people. So therefore we should see that they have gone through the difficulties. And they didn't commit suicide or anything. Read it.
We often feel stress because of change, and change comes under the larger headings of the fate and time and of Krishna's will.
Yeah. Our fate will bring about changes in our life. Sometimes there is a fair weather, sometimes foul weather. Which means sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you get profits, sometimes you get losses. Sometimes you get success, sometimes failures. Sometimes something pleasurable happens, sometimes something painful happens. That's the way the material world is. It's not going to be always smooth sailing. So why? Because in our fate there is a combination of both pleasure, pain, sukha, dukkha, shita, uchnamana, apaman. Both are coming in our life. So we always want to have pleasurable experiences more and more, and we want to always want, you know, everything goody goody. But life will bring both, and we should be. Therefore, if you are Krishna conscious, you know, when good things come, you will remember the Lord and say, "Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave me. Thank you." And when difficulties come, we'll pray to Lord, "Oh, please give me strength so that I can go through this, I can face this." In the material world, upheavals are natural, Prabhupada says. Know how to think and act at the time of difficulty. See, at the time of difficulty with the mind, how should we think? And with the body, how should we act? Both will be taught in this seminar. Yeah. Go ahead.
A devotee turns to the scripture for shelter. The Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are filled with description of the inevitability of change in the material world, full of advice about how to think and act in times of difficulty.
Yeah, this is the beauty of Gita and Bhagavatam. Those who are trained in the Vedic literatures like Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they will be cheerful even in difficulty. Even in, when challenges come, you know, they will see the challenges as opportunities in life. That the opportunity is coming and tapping my door to become a more mature devotee. They will not run away when the challenges come in their life. That's what he is saying, that how to think, how to act in times of difficulty. Like for example, when a difficulty comes in your life, you can break down. Or you can take the difficulty as a challenge and you can make a progress in spiritual life. One example I'll tell you. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother. He broke down to tears. Came to his mother, but mother taught him to take it as a challenge. She said, "Go to the forest, meet Lord Vishnu, get a kingdom greater than your grandfather and be happy." That's what your mind wants now, and you are crying constantly. So you convert this misfortune into a good fortune, she told him. And that's what precisely Dhruva did. And what came as a slap on the face of Dhruva turned into a great plan of, you know, success for him in life. He became a world-renowned devotee of Lord Vishnu. If that stepmother didn't speak to him in that way, Dhruva might have remained in the palace very normally like any other small kid. Isn't it? So when difficulties come, devotees always look with great interest. How can this difficulty help me to serve Krishna better? That's what they ask the question. Maybe this difficulty can become an opportunity for me to, you know, reach to Krishna. Yeah. Examples. Some examples are given so that you'll be more clear what are the upheavals Prabhupada is talking. Yeah. First one.
Scarcity of money or food.
Yeah. Sometimes you find suddenly your father was telling you that we have nothing to worry. We have family property. We are four brothers. They will divide and give my share. But sometimes somebody is cheated in the family property sale and all. He was supposed to get something like, you know, 60 or 80 lakhs. He thought, "I'll put it in the bank and live my life peacefully." Suddenly somebody cheated him. Either somebody looted the money and ran away or whatever. So when a big money crunch comes in an average family, people become completely crazy. They wonder what happened. Now where will I live? I have come to the street now. And old age, will I go and beg money from somebody? So therefore, sometimes when money crunch comes, either money is stolen, or somebody has cheated us, or money is lost. So, and similarly, there can be scarcity of food in some people's lives. So these are extreme examples of difficulty. Go ahead.
Accidents to the body, to our property.
Yeah.
Disease and death.
Yeah.
A devotee continues to this, to do his service. Ultimately, Krishna is behind whatever changes take place in this world. Through understanding from scriptures and performance of sadhana, a devotee can attain steadiness and be peaceful.
And this is very important. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Lord Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is lying in the milk ocean, beyond all the 14 planetary systems, whenever there is a cosmic disturbance, all devatas go to him only and to pray. So he is twinkling his eyes, you know, lying in the milk ocean in Ananta Shesh, and immediately the pralaya starts. The pralaya waters you know, they engulf all the lower planetary systems, you know, and then the middle planetary system, and then Bhulok, Swalok, Mahalok, Janalok, up to Janalok the water level rises. Yeah? All the planets are submerged. All the Janalokavasis go to the Tapalok, higher planets they go. Yeah? So then this is Pralaya, engulfs the whole universe. Yeah? Even the sun and moon lose their glare, yeah? At that time, during the Brahma's night. There's a pralaya everywhere in the universe. There's no activity. All the jivas, they are all drowned in the pralaya waters and they lose their bodies and the atmas are all kept in the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, below, in the bottom part of the universe. At that time, what do you think Vishnu does? In the top, Vishnu is lying. He is ever smiling. He is in a yoganidra, we call it. With semi-closed eyes, he is smiling. Makes no difference to him. Whether pralaya happens, our normal course of life is going on for the living entities. For him, nothing makes any difference. In Jagrati, Swapna, Sushupti, Samadhi, in all the four stages it is said, like in a wakeful state, dream state, deep sleep state, Samadhi state, Vishnu cannot be affected by anything. Time doesn't affect him. Gunas don't affect him. Rajoguna, Tamoguna, Sattoguna. Karma cannot affect him. Because, you know, he is expansion of Krishna in this universe. And he is peaceful. So always we should remember that in the milk ocean, the same super soul in my heart, Lord Vishnu is lying very peacefully, unaffected. That means Krishna is never affected. So you take firm shelter of that person who is never affected. Then you will also not be affected. That is the first lesson here. For example, imagine all of your audience, say you are sitting in a... say chatai, for example. Somebody comes and pulls the chatai from behind. You are asking, hey, why are you pulling it, disturbing me? You say that, no, instead of chatai, I thought I can give you a gadda. Nice, you know, cushion to sit. Oh, you may say, really? You are going to give me a cushion? That's better. Then you get up. Then you put a nice cushion for all of you to sit. Then you are sitting in the cushion. And then after half an hour, they again come and say that, you know, they are pulling the cushion from behind. You will ask, hey, why are you pulling it? Oh, some guests have come. So now we will put the cushion for them. After they go, I will bring it back. They say, for the time being, you keep the chatai again. Okay, you stand up, they take off the cushion, again you sit. Again, after some time, they come to put back the cushion again. So what most of you may tell him that, Prabhu, I don't need cushion also, I don't need chatai also. Leave me alone. I am comfortable sitting on the ground because you cannot take the ground. Ground is unshakable thing, correct, no? This is what all jivas want. Jivas don't want repeated change. But unfortunately you find your jobs, company jobs transfer you from one place to another and they change you the location. Along with wife, children, family, one has to transfer. Or sometimes the jobs ask you to quit the job. One has to then move from one company to another company, one country to another country. Sometimes husband is in Australia, wife is in Canada, you know, son is in America, and daughter is in India. Everybody in a family are, you know, spread it out like this, you find in this world. So who wants such changes? Nobody wants. Therefore, we should all take shelter of unchanging lotus feet of Krishna, which is ever unchanging. So once you are firmly situated in Krishna's lotus feet by chanting Hare Krishna and having firm faith in the spiritual truths, Krishna says, Tyaktva Deham Punarjanmanaiti Mameti Sorjana. At the time of death, when you remember, I mean, you have spent your life in Krishna consciousness, you will come back to me, to that abode which is unchanging abode, imperishable abode. Yasya Sarveshu Bhutesh Nashyatsu Na Vinashyati. Look at this picture, how many buildings are collapsing here in earthquake. Whereas in the spiritual world, there is no destruction. In material world, there is creation and destruction. Whereas in the spiritual world, there is no creation, no destruction purposes. It's always existing. Yasa sarveshu bhuteshu nashyatsu na vinashyati. That is never destroyed, he says. So why don't we go to that world where there is no destruction at all? There is no destruction of your body also. And there is no destruction of any building also. It's a permanent world. You always remain of the same age for all time to come. There is no wrinkles on the face. There is no losing of the tooth. There is no black hair becoming white hair. There is no passing of time. The time is in control of Krishna. So therefore, you keep your consciousness right now in the spiritual world. You will see Even though in material world may pose difficulties for you. You know that this material body is only covering over the soul. And as long as I have these difficulties, I have to endure. But once I leave the body, I will go back to a permanent place from where I will never come back. Yad gatva nani vartante. So we do sadhana, we surrender to Krishna. We don't make a plan to come back to this world. Nor do we make a plan to continue living in this world or prolonging our life. We make a plan to serve Krishna here and there, in both places. Then you are situated in a permanent, just like you are sitting on the ground, nobody can pull the ground. In the same manner, you can get an unchanging situation. Yeah. Prabhupada is saying here, how can one situate oneself in perfect samadhi?
There is always some upheaval in the material world, which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is affected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. Such consciousness in Krishna situates one in perfect transcendental position called technically samadhi. Bhagavad Gita as it is 257.
Yeah. One time the mathematics marks came in one of the semesters. One boy was a very brilliant boy in mathematics. He was expecting a centum, but then he realized that he had made some small mistake. He expected between 90 to 95, something like that. And he got 39 marks. And another boy who wrote only for 40 marks, and he got 93. So that boy who got 93, he came and showed me, yeah, I wrote only 40 marks, I got 93. He was very, very happy. Then I told him, hey, go and tell the teacher. He said, why should I tell? Why should I tell the teacher? Because then marks will be changed. Some computer mistake. And that boy who was supposed to get 93, he got 39, and he was shocked. Then he gave for a reval. Then in the revaluation it came that this fellow got 93 and that fellow got 13. Then they gave the proper marks. But why I am telling you, imagine when one gets a sudden failure like this, how do people take it? Correct, no? So one should know academics is a small part of life. It is not everything in life. There is academics, there is sports, there is your health, there is your family, there is your sport, entertainment. There are so many aspects of life. And the most important aspect of life is your spiritual life. Why? Because all the other aspects of life are all temporary. But the spiritual aspect of life is permanent. Like one writer clearly said, we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Right now you are having a human body experience. Sometimes you are a spiritual being having a dog experience. Sometimes a cat experience. Sometimes a tree experience. So the bodies are changing. But who is permanent? Soul is permanent. Therefore, soul's success is the real success. Bodily success is all cheating. So what is the success of the soul? If you have become a Krishna devotee and you went back to Godhead, Antakale, Krishna says that, Antakale chamameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. Krishna says, anyone who remembers me at the time of death and returns back to me, this is called as law of success. If one has become a devotee of Krishna and remembered the Lord and rendered service to Lord all his life, and then he is a complete success. He never has to be born again in this world. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, birth, old age, disease, death, he will never have to suffer. For all time he can serve Lord Krishna there. So, therefore Prabhupada is saying here, in this world good and evil are always going to come. See these two fellows I told you, the boy who got 39 now, eventually he gave a reval, he got 93. That means earlier he got evil, now he got good. That doesn't mean he will always get good. Life always brings you like a sinusoidal wave, we say, no? Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad, good luck, bad luck, good luck, bad luck, good luck, like that life goes. Whereas when you go to spiritual world, this cycle is finished. It will not be there. You are always with Krishna, you are always in spiritual world. Therefore he says, right now you are in material world, you tolerate it and you do the homework for going back to spiritual world. So, one has to tolerate the difficulty, he says. Somebody may say, I am a devotee, how can it happen to me? Many people ask, Prabhu, you see, I am not like the ordinary non-devotees. I have started chanting Hare Krishna. Then I should not get any difficulty. People ask like that. That's one of the questions they ask. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada told, don't expect smooth sailing in this world. He meant that being devotees of Krishna doesn't protect us from rough seas. The only advantage is Lord will be through all of our struggle.
No, Lord will be with us.
Lord will be with us through all of our struggle. Arjuna certainly didn't enjoy smooth sailing as he fought against friends and family in the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna's only promise was that he had already accomplished
what he wanted Arjuna to do, and Arjuna should act as his instrument, and Krishna would stand before him on the chariot. You see, Krishna told Arjuna, just because you Pandavas are my devotees, don't think there will be no difficulty in your life. Non-devotees have difficulty, you will also have difficulty, but there is a difference. When non-devotees face difficulty, they are like anath. Anath means orphan. So they have to struggle on their own. But when devotees have difficulty, they will remember me and they will call my name and I will immediately go to them and I will be there to guide them what to do. Like, you know, Draupadi had a difficulty. She called Krishna. Hey Krishna, hey Govinda, hey Gopijanavallabha, hey Dwarakavasin. Immediately Krishna came and supplied sari. Another time Durvasamuni came and to create in the forest. He was creating a trouble. He and his thousands of disciples wanted food. And Akshayapatra was not able to give food because of after sunset. She had put it upside down. Immediately Draupadi remembered Krishna and Krishna came and saved the Pandavas. Similarly, after returning back, their kingdom was not given. Pandavas remembered Krishna and the Kurukshetra war was fought and they got the kingdom. So whenever devotee has difficulty, they remember the Lord. Immediately Lord says, I will be there for my devotees. In fact, I will become servant of my devotees. I will become a charioteer of my devotee Arjuna and help him and guide him in the battle of Kurukshetra, how to win. So this is the beauty for a devotee, and that is the weakness of a non-devotee. What is the weakness of a non-devotee? He depends on his own little tiny brain, like a frog in the well. And therefore he commits suicide. That's the reason. He is not able to face difficulty. He has nowhere to go. And he is like anath. He has turned away from God. He suffers like that. He becomes a coward. On the other hand, devotees, I told you, Pandavas, Prahlad, Ambarish, none of them, you know, gave up their life or became depressed, and none of them got admitted in a, you know, mental asylum or something after the difficulties. You know, they could get strength because Lord says, my devotees remember me and I'll be there for them. And I'll be there to guide them and go with them. Yeah. Be fixed on Krishna. Don't be attached to a small world of dissolving matter. This is the teaching. Yeah, read it.
Krishna is the anchor in any storm.
Like for example, if you have a boat, if a boatman has kept a boat in the bank of the ocean, or say he has anchored it to the bank of the ocean, even if there is a storm, the boat may go like this way, that way, this way, that way, but it will never be swept away. But if it is not anchored, what will happen to boat? It will just go deep in the ocean, it will get broken to pieces. So similarly, we can be anchored in Krishna's lotus feet. Then we are, some difficulty will come in life, we may be a little bit agitated, but again and again. But then, because of having Krishna with us, that will give us confidence. Like for example, once I was taken to hospital when I was a small kid. Now, when I went, he was a child specialist doctor. So he had got three, four big bottles of chocolates. He asked me, which one you want? I said, all of them are colorful and looking different. Give me one of each. I took one of each in my hand, two here. I was looking at them. Suddenly the doctor gave an injection. My Lord, I had both hands full. I had to drop the chocolates to save my hand from the injection. But by the time I cried loudly and saved myself, the injection was over. He had already given it. But during the time of injection, I saw my mother was holding my body. Both sides she was holding, so the doctor can give the injection. So, because my mother was holding, I looked at her, my Lord, this lady is my protector and maintainer, and even she is holding me and allowing this fellow to give injection. I was surprised how it is she is allowing this fellow to cause me pain. But there was one amazing thing that happened. Because I was in my mother's hand, I felt myself safe even though I was facing difficulty. So, if I didn't have my mother with me, if doctor alone grabbed me and took me and put injection, I won't be able to take it. When mother is right behind you, smiling at you and watching, she says, better don't worry, it's for your good only he is putting injection, your fever will be gone, don't worry. So that gives you assurance. Of course I cried like anything, but the mother picked me up and while taking she told me, no, it's a small, it's like an ant biting you, that's all. Yeah? Little pinch you have to tolerate. You see, last 3 days you are suffering from fever. Now after this pinch your fever will be gone. And then she told, don't cry, you got 4 chocolates in 2 hands. Finish all of them. So along with my tears, I finished the chocolates also. So mother being right behind me was a great support, isn't it? In the same manner, if Krishna is with you, the difficulties will not feel as painful as when Krishna is not without you. You understand, no? Like for Arjuna, Krishna is in his own chariot. So while fighting the battle, Arjuna will be confident or will be fearful? Confident, why? Because Krishna is there. Prabhupada went to America in old age. What gave him confidence? Because he carried Bhagavatam with him. He said, I may not be able to preach in my old age. I don't know whether they will understand me or not. But this Bhagavatam will preach to them, Prabhupada said. The holy name I will give them, that will cleanse their heart and make them devotees. He was very confident. So devotee is not confident in himself. Devotee is confident in Krishna. That's one very big difference between non-devotees and devotees. So many non-devotees are attending seminars, motivational talks on how to be self-confident. Actually, it is a misnomer. What confidence you will have? Big people who even talk on confidence commit suicide. You will see that. So, at one time they were heroes, they became zeros. Actually, our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is in our shelter in Krishna. Like Pandavas, for example, although they were very chivalrous, each and every one of them, like Yudhishthira Maharaj in javelin throwing, and Bhima in mace fighting, Arjuna in archery, Pandava, Nakula Sahadeva in sword fighting, they never thought we can win any battle without Krishna's blessings. They knew that if Krishna wants us to win, we will win. It's not by our own ability we can win. I mean, our endeavor and Krishna's mercy. Like I saw the scene, Krishna gives the reins. I give the interview, the panel has to choose me for the job. I write the exam and individual has to give me marks. In this way, life is a two-way thing, not a one-way thing. Our endeavor and Krishna's grace. Like here, Arjuna is taking initiative to fight the battle, but the guidance is coming from Krishna. So once you are very clear in your mind about this picture, that myself, I will make some little tiny efforts, but with Krishna's support, I will very easily win. Because I know that one little story Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita purports. He says, once upon a time, a sparrow had laid some eggs, which was actually stolen away by the ocean. Some 5-6 eggs. So the sparrow went near the ocean and said, oh my dear ocean, he was crying, please give my eggs back. And the ocean didn't respond. He kept mum. So then the bird said, just wait and watch what I do. If you don't give my eggs back, I am going to dry you up. So with his small beak, he would pick up a few drops of water from the ocean and go far away and put it, come back again, take some more drops and put it. Do you think the sparrow can ever dry the ocean? But when he made this tiny, minuscule efforts, and that too persistently, consistently, non-stop, seeing that Garuda took pity, who was flying up in the sky, and Garuda came down and told the ocean, hey ocean, give back his eggs. And immediately the ocean supplied the eggs back. So the sparrow became very happy. So what is the moral of the story? Our Krishna consciousness is like the eggs, and the ocean is Maya Devi, Maya. So by Maya has stolen away our Krishna consciousness, we have become forgetful. But somehow, if you make efforts to chant Hare Krishna and try to get our Krishna consciousness back again, our efforts may be very tiny, minuscule, but seeing that Garuda, Prabhupada is like Garuda, then Prabhupada and Brahma and ultimately Krishna himself, when they see our efforts, they are very pleased. They will, they will bring Krishna's mercy to us in such a way. Ultimately Radharani, Radharani sees that you are making some little tiny efforts. They will bring Krishna's mercy in our life in such a way that we will get our Krishna consciousness back. So it's not only by our effort and Krishna's mercy. One time I saw in our big temple, NVCC Pune temple, one mother was sitting in a chair along with her small kid. And then she gave a 500 rupee note in the child's hand and said,
Better go straight in the front. See, there is a hundi. Put the money in the hundi and come back. And she was watching. She wanted to teach a good habit to the child that we should give some charity. The child took the currency note and walked straight. I was just watching in the temple hall. He walked. Earlier our hundi was a flat one, this size one. But later we changed it. Now we have changed it to a stainless steel one, tall one, like this. In the top there is a hole. So child is a small kid. He is only this much high. How will he reach the top? So he came, he went round and round. This way, that way he went. He tried to jump up. He made little high jump. He could never reach it. So he went back to mother and said, "Mom, I can't reach it. Here is the money, what I should do?" She said, "Okay, come with me." So she took the child to the front. She lifted the child like this and he put the money. So when I saw that, I was so touched on that day. I felt in the same manner, we are trying to take the bead back and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. They are struggling. And rather than seeing that this fellow is struggling to chant Krishna's name, she will lift us up in spiritual life. Then we can chant effectively. So our effort and Radharani's grace in our life. In this way, combination is good. Therefore, here he says here, a devotee is fixed on Krishna, not on matter. And Krishna doesn't change. Because if you are too much attached to the material things, yasyatma buddhir kuna petri dhatuke swadhi kalatradi shubhoma ijjadi yattirta buddhi salilena karhyachet janeshva vigneshu sayeva gokaraha. You know what is this verse? Yasyatma buddhir, if you identify that I am this body, I am an engineer, I am a doctor, I am fair, I am very smart, this is my business, my family, my parents, our caste is a high caste, I am foreign returned, you know, I have a big bank balance. If you identify with all these things, every one of them, when they are taken away, every time you have to cry. And you are none of all these things. This body is simply covering over the soul. Like as much as, like Prabhupada gives the example of a nariyal, you know, a big coconut. It has a fiber, then shell inside, and inside that you have coconut and coconut water. So the soul and Krishna prema in the heart of the soul is like coconut and coconut water. That's the real thing. Soul and the Krishna prema is the real thing. Outside the soul, there is a covering of man, buddhi, ahankar. And outside that, there is panchamahabhut. So those are all material. Panchamahabhut is gross body material. Subtle body is material. You have to throw them all away eventually. They will all go away. But the soul and love of God in the heart of the soul. So, if soul is like coconut inside and love of God is like the juice, fix your mind on the permanent soul, our identity as the soul, and love of God. And Krishna is permanent, you are permanent, and your relationship with Him is permanent. Fix your mind on that, He's saying. Yeah. Yes?
Thus, whatever faith we have invested in matter, we should invest in Krishna so that we can develop the ability to turn to Krishna always and to live in remembrance of Him.
One fellow from Bombay, big businessman, met Srila Prabhupada and said, "Swamiji, you are very busy traveling across the globe preaching Bhagavad Gita. You are busy preaching Bhagavad Gita, I am busy doing business," he was telling. And then he asked Prabhupada, "I don't have any time, Swamiji, but I thought I can hear a couple of words from you. If you could tell me the essence of Gita in a few lines in my businessman's language, I'll be thankful." So Prabhupada said, "All your life, what you did for Krishna, write on credit side of your balance sheet. And all your life, what you did for yourself, write it on debit side. And then make a balance sheet and tell me how much savings you have in your credit side." And the man was shocked. His jaws dropped. He told Prabhupada, "Swamiji, all my life I have spent time and money, everything for myself only. I never gave any time to God. So my balance sheet shows that everything is negative only." And I think Prabhupada said, "Therefore wake up now. Take this mala, chant Hare Krishna now. Make a beginning. Because whatever time, energy, money you spend in Lord's service, that goes to your which side? Credit side. And whatever you are doing, I, me, mine, material things, that is debit side," he said. So now the businessman understood that I should actually utilize my time in performing bhakti sukriti, devotional activities. so that I can actually accrue my balance sheet. That's what he is saying here. If one is thus situated, even at the hour of death, Syat Sambramanta Kalepi, Bhagavatam also says that, one will not be bewildered but can enter into the kingdom of God. That means if you are always Krishna conscious, Krishna will give you the intelligence and the strength, both, how to live in difficult situations. And you see, this is the happiness of a devotee. Read that in the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi. Read that, one's mind is.
One's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. These perfections characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses.
So, sukamatyantikam jatat buddhi grahyamati indriyam veti yatrana chaiva yam sitaschalati tatpataha yam labdva chaparam labam manyate na adikam tataha. You know what a devotee thinks? Oh, the bliss I am feeling now, happiness in Krishna's lotus feet. He feels that there is no happiness greater than this. He is completely satisfied. Yam labdva cha aparam labam manyate na adikam tataha. Na adikam means there cannot be any happiness better than this. He is very satisfied in that happiness. And not only that, gurunapi vichalyate. Even if there is difficulties come, he will never give up Krishna's lotus feet. He will always tam vidyat dukkha samyogam yogam yoga samsitam. So in this way, he is explaining about the samadhi state where devotee is fixed in the spiritual world, his consciousness in the spiritual world, he is serving Krishna, he is satisfied completely. So in the material world you find, read it.
A devotee is callous towards...
Callous means insensitive.
A devotee is callous towards incidental occurrences such as accidents, disease, scarcity, even the death of a most dear relative. But he is always alert to execute his duties in Krishna consciousness or bhakti yoga. Accidents never deviate him from the duty.
For example, Arjuna was weeping when Abhimanyu died. Krishna came and kept his hand in Arjuna's shoulder and said, Arjuna, you are weeping here, but the Kauravas are attacking Pandava army and they are like cutting grass in the field. They are rooting out hundreds and thousands of soldiers. So you want to save your soldiers or you want to continue mourning here? Immediately Arjuna got up, took his bow and arrow and ran to the battlefield. He told Krishna, come, let's go. Therefore, a devotee never gives up his duty. Of course, any father, when he loses his son, he would mourn. But Arjuna understood, this is not time for mourning. Krishna is calling me for a duty, I will go ahead with my duty. Krishna's order is more important than, you know, than me considering my own things. So in this way, he says that a devotee, Agama, Apayino, Anityaha, Tamsitikshas Bharata. In this world, happiness and distress will come and go like the summer season coming, winter season coming, coming and going. One should not bother. For example, in the rainy season, the people having some, you know, complaint of sinusitis and all, when they get wet, they suffer a lot, isn't it? So they are thinking that, oh, if it is summer, it will be better. But for some people, Pitta people, summer is not good. It is too hot. They will say, when will the rainy season start? So therefore, in this world, you will find they will keep coming, going. So you don't get affected. You focus on Krishna. You don't get affected by the climatic situations around you. Like Prabhupada gives their example, summer kitchen and winter cold bath. Both are painful. Correct, no? A lady doesn't like summer kitchen, hot kitchen. And winter time, devotees find it difficult to take a cold water bath. Sometimes you have to. So he says that devotees accept his austerity and go on steadily. Same point here. Matter changes, but transcendental does not become affected by it. Stay fixed in our duty. That is the point explained here. Not that you keep laughing, crying, for every small whimsical wind that will come in your life, Prabhupada says. Lord Shri protects those who cry out for help like Draupadi. Prayers go up and blessings come down. Isn't it? This is what I was telling you before also. At the same time, devotees are not like a stone. They have no emotion in their life. Therefore, I told you example of Arjuna. You know, he wept when Abhimanyu had died. So, he naturally devotees have emotions. One fellow was asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita? Is it not ridiculous that he cried when Abhimanyu died? Why did he cry after hearing Bhagavata? Prabhupada said, Arjuna is not ridiculous, you are ridiculous, Prabhupada said. And he asked, why Swamiji? Then Prabhupada said, you see, you are asking a ridiculous question. Because Arjuna may cry, any father, mother, little bit will become emotionally little affected when such things happen. But he stayed fixed in his duty. When Krishna came and requested him to fight, immediately he took up to his duty. Not that he told Krishna, hey Krishna, you told me to fight, I fought, now my son is dead, I am going home now. He didn't leave his duty and go away. Similarly, Krishna's devotees may momentarily get little agitated in mind, but then they will again become fixed up in Krishna's duty, they will never give it up. And this is, I already told you, the real shelter is in bhakti. I already explained to you. Gandhi also made the statement. Please read that. When doubts haunt me, when disappointments stare me in face, and I see not one ray of hope on the horizon, Gandhi said, I turn to Bhagavad Gita and find a verse to comfort me. I immediately begin to smile in the midst of overwhelming sorrow, he says. Those who meditate on the Gita will derive fresh joy and new meanings from it every day, Gandhi says then. That means, you know, he says, even in difficulties, he found a great shelter in Bhagavad Gita, he says, in doubts and confusions. Here is an example of Prabhupada. He went to the hippie land. See, all hippies, they are into drinking and smoking and drugs and dozens of changing partners. And they have no stability in their family, in their profession. They are all rich kids coming from well-to-do families. They never listen to the teacher, never listen to the parents, never listen to the government or the police. Nobody could control them. They were into all these dirty things. And Prabhupada saw that they have a little inclination for music and they are a little inquisitive about what is that life which will make us truly happy. And they wanted to give up the stereotyped life of everybody being drafted to go to the Vietnam War. Rather, they actually wanted, they did counterculture. They left the typical hackneyed, stereotyped study and run for studies and run for job, run, make money. So they didn't like that life. They had pulled out from it. So Prabhupada thought, let me go and sing Hare Krishna and make them devotees. So we can see Prabhupada faced a lot of difficulty in the early days. First 1 year, nobody became devotee. But he persisted in the difficulty taking shelter of Krishna. This is the example here. He stayed with difficulty in America with no money, no manpower, single-handedly, old man after a couple of heart attacks in the ship. And living alone in America, in an unknown place, in a place where people speak a different language, English, and he is a Paramahamsa devotee from Vrindavan. All his God brothers are in Vrindavan. He would have lived a very happy life in Vrindavan, chanting and taking darshan of the different seven temples and everything. He left a very comfortable situation. He came out of the comfort zone and went to the stretch zone in America, where it's a new place. He underwent a lot of difficulties, and then today we are enjoying such a huge movement, ISKCON movement, practically having 800-900 centers worldwide. It is because of this one personality, by whose sincere efforts, who persisted in all the difficulties, taking shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada told the devotees there, you see, some religions may convert people with some money and facilities and comforts. Some religions may convert people by the force of sword. They may show sword and say, you have to convert. But Prabhupada said, and I have no money, and I have no manpower, Prabhupada said. I have come with empty hands to America to preach. But I have one wealth, one great asset with me, which is the holy name. He said, I'll put holy name which is non-different from Krishna and let people chant the holy name and Krishna will enlighten them. And it exactly happened. He got thousands of followers. 5,000 people became disciples. Another 5,000 people were aspiring from him. 10,000 devotees he made single-handedly in about 10 years. 10 to 12 years, which means like he made 1,000 devotees every year, isn't it? So it's a miracle, a humanly impossible task he did, because he took shelter of Krishna and persisted in difficulty. That requires faith, and in times of difficulty means one requires faith. We should place trust in something sublime, which Prabhupada did, which is a chanting. I am concluding the class now. It's a very beautiful example. Whom you see in the picture is called His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami Maharaj. I was very inspired by his example, because he will always quote this famous verse. Samsara dharmair abhimukhyamanaha Smritya Harer, Bhagavata Pradhanaha. Don't be bewildered by the inevitable miseries that come in this world. Always remain aloof from these miseries. How? By filling your mind and heart with Krishna's name, form, qualities and pastimes. Tadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha. Prahlad Maharaj says that. But simply remembering your beautiful form and your qualities and pastimes, I forgot all the miseries in which my father put me. Like that, Prahlad says. Same thing Dhruva says. Neshye Vavad Gunakatam Mritapana Mattaha. I am intoxicated by hearing your kathas, my Lord. Therefore, I don't feel any misery in this world at all, he says. So this Maharaj, in the last part of his life, when he was taking treatment, when he was bedridden, you know, his legs sometimes would give like electric shock kind of pain. So he used to study Bhagavatam daily and he would pray to Lord to put what you studied into practice. He said that the devotees should develop character as devotees. See what he says here. If there is no significant change to our habits or character, then reading Bhagavatam is simply an exercise for name and fame, he says. We have to bring about a change. So he's a very powerful teacher of Bhagavatam. Disciple of Prabhupada. So somebody asked Maharaj, Maharaj, why should I leave home? And people would be asking, why are you leaving? Maharaj was telling them. When they asked him, actually he took vanaprastha from the family life and then he fully devoted to Prabhupada. So some devotees asked him, why did you take sannyas? What happened in your life? So he said that you should take sannyas at such a stage when people ask you, please don't leave us, why are you leaving? If you stay for too long till 80 or 90, they will say, when are you going to leave? You know, that he says. So he says here, you see, when you are weak in Krishna consciousness, take shelter of Srila Prabhupada sincerely. So he is a great lover of Prabhupada. So one time when he was in the bed taking treatment, so he would, and the ailment in the body was such that it would give like electric shock practically in the leg, pain. Leg would shiver, hand would shiver, but he was hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, completely absorbed. Till the last moment he spent in a very, very Krishna conscious way. So why I was quoting his example, you can see that great souls like this, they have undergone a lot of difficulty, but because of shelter in Krishna, they made everybody else very jubilant in their lives, very joyful in their lives, rather than, you know, wanting sympathy from others, becoming very morose, I am suffering, all of you come and show sympathy on me. Instead, he is preaching to thousands of people, even lying in the bed while taking treatment, people are coming and learning from him how to face difficulty with a blissful smile on the face, taking shelter of Krishna. Yeah, please read that, we'll conclude.
Seeing Krishna's hands doesn't mean that we can or even need to always understand the reason behind his actions. We simply accept that his plans are inconceivable to us. We don't even need to inquire into them. Our faith is that Krishna is our well-wishing friend. Everything is happening by his arrangement for our own good.
This is the faith. Like a child has firm faith in the mother. Can a mother ever harm the child? Child will never think mother will harm me. Child has full faith. So in the same manner, we should know that whatever emanates from Krishna is all pure love. That's what Bali Maharaj told. Pumsam shlagyatamam manye dandamar arhattamar pitam yamnamata tata brata surdashchai vadishantihi. He said, my dear Lord, mother and brother sometimes may punish a boy for his own good if he is not studying well or something like that. In the same manner, you are our well-wisher. Whatever emanates from you, whether it is an embrace or a danda, punishment, it's all you are giving simply out of your love for us. You are such a lovable personality and loving personality. Nothing other than love can emanate from you. So devotee should have such a firm faith in Krishna's plan. So when difficulties come, a devotee should think, Krishna, you have given me this difficulty because I am lazy to turn to you. I am always saying I am busy because of this, because of that. Now that difficulty has come, let me remember you. Let me come to you. So I will tell you one last example and I will conclude. One time I was traveling in a flight. Next to me was sitting one very big industrialist. So I gave my card to him. And I said, sir, please come to our temple. He said, temple? Samay kidhar hai? Where is time? Life is so busy. My son is in Germany, daughter is in Australia. Another is in Canada, huh? And I have some business in America also. Now I am going to America only now. Huh? He said, life is busy, and I asked him, what is your age? He said, my age is about 76, 77, he said. Then I told him, sir, your age is, then I told him about the four phases of life, you know, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And I asked him, you have so many sons and daughters, hand over the business to them, and you will get more time, I said. He said, they are also doing business and I am doing my own business also. You are selling like that. Now I am going to America to meet one of my acquaintances. So, then I told him, okay, you are a Pune man only. Whenever you come to Pune, you come. Then I got down. But most amazing thing was, within the next 2-3 days, I got a call from him. He said, Radheshyamji, aap hai kya mandir mein? I said, yes. Aajai, aajai. He was in one big hospital in Pune, admitted. Because he had a sudden heart attack. And he could not travel. He was in the flight. He had to come back, immediately rushed back. Put in ICU. Doctor said 50-50. You may be saved or you may not be saved. So he called him immediately, you come. Then I went to meet him. And then he was telling that doctors have told that next 2-3 days we will come to know. Because my heart is malfunctioning. It's not functioning properly. So then he told me to sit. And I said, sir, you said you don't have time. So I already took your half an hour, 1 hour. He said, kya time? Abhi duniya bhar ke time hai mere paas abhi. Now I have nothing else to do. Now I don't know whether I'll be dead or alive. You tell me. Then I told him the Parikshit's katha. 7 days he was about to leave the body, then Katvangamani and everything. And why I'm telling you this, when dangers and problems come, that is the time people think of God. Otherwise people don't think. They are all caught up in their own orbits. So therefore, a devotee is intelligent. Like our Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, whether sampade vipade, jivane marane, in all such fair and foul weather, I will not forget you. That's a devotee. You have heard this saying, you know, dukume sumiran sab kare, sukume kare na koi, sukume sumiran jo kare, dukka kaya ko hoi. He says, if you remember the Lord, even in your sukham, where is difficulty for you? Okay, let us take questions now. Oh, too many things are coming. Okay. You can find the person I asked. Chidindra Kumar Prabhu is asking Bhuvaneshwar, how to increase chanting more rounds, reading and hearing proper lectures daily in student life? So you can increase as per your inspiration. If you are chanting 4 rounds, on some auspicious day like Ekadashi day, decide to chant 8 rounds. But whatever rounds you want to do more, don't reduce. You can gradually increase. Every Ekadashi, 2 rounds, 4 rounds, you can increase. Come up to 16. And if you are with other devotee friends, it's even more easy. Harshad Prabhu is asking, what if your blood relatives are only the cause of our pain or difficulties? Some relatives cheat on property, business, that results in financial crisis. In this age, we can trust outsider, but not our own blood relatives. How to remain stable during this difficult period? Please guide. Yeah. Actually, whenever your own family members, relatives cheat you, it is very, very painful. Because you develop a kind of hatred for them, and that hatred eats you up from inside. It makes you think, I thought he's my mama, he's my this, he's my chachaji. How they can do that? How they can do that? Mind keeps on asking. So what you can tell yourself is, what is this mama ji, chacha ji, kaka ji, nana ji? They are all actually souls who have come, and they are all just artificially assembled together in the form of a family. Just like you will see when some leaves fall from a tree in a river, they come together and then they go some distance and they get separated, never to meet again. They will go and meet with other group of leaves. Similarly, your relatives are souls from where they have come, we don't know, different places, and they all in one. One soul is called mother soul, father soul, son soul, daughter soul, and mama soul, kaka soul, nana soul. All souls have come together. And then they will all get... Therefore, there is not much difference between these people and the other people in the world. You only have to have one reality. What is it? All jivas are Krishna's children. If you see from that perspective, then you will not be too disturbed. He says, no. Sarva yonishu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiyaha. Tasam brahma mahat yonir aham bija pradahapita. He says, not only humans. He says, including animals, birds, aquatics, you know, from Brahma to amoeba. Everybody, is Krishna says, they are all my children only. So see, from that point of view, Vasudha Eva Kutumbakam, it's one big family. And there are Asari people and Daivi people from the dawn of creation. So now in case somebody acted in an Asuric way, try to sort out the problem and go on with your Krishna consciousness. Don't get bogged down by it. Increase your chanting and reading and hearing, and divert your attention from hatred, because hatred is no good for your health also. Harshit Prabhu from Dhanbad is asking, should we enjoy taking darshan of Krishna, as sometimes we get attracted to his beautiful form? If no, then gopis even cursed Brahma for making blinking eyes as a disturbance in their enjoyment and seeing the beauty of Krishna. Can you explain the service attitude of gopis while seeing Krishna? Actually, the gopis always think, how I can serve Krishna? Even like we are taking darshan, how do we take darshan? That's very important. First we see his lotus feet, then the calf, then the thighs, then the chest and the hands and the face. And we definitely notice his beauty. And then we develop a great joy that such a wonderful master I have, such an all-loving master I have, such a compassionate master I have. He is a Bhakta Vatsala. He is a Dina Bandhu. He is Apad Bandhava. He is Anatha Rakshaka. He is a maintainer of, he is my maintainer, he is my protector, he is my master, he is my eternal master, imperishable master, everlasting master, sweet master, lovable master. So he is called Vasudeva, he is residing in the heart of all living beings. And this is so kind that he has come in the form of a deity in the temple, and he is accepting my seva, little seva that I am trying to do. And he has given me such an easy to, you know, adopt a mantra in my life. I don't have to go to Himalayas or anywhere. So you simply call his name, and immediately you become his devotee and he accepts you. And think of his pastime. So this is the way our attraction for Krishna should go. Because if your attraction is, this is shastric, shastrically right. Otherwise, if somebody is looking at Radharani or Krishna just for their beauty, or you describe, what if you see another deity which is not that beautiful? You will criticize that deity. You will say, this deity is beautiful, that is not beautiful, this dressing is good, that's not good. So then you are more into what? Material outlook, not spiritual outlook. Better, which is better outlook? Spiritual outlook. See, from point of view of Shastra, think about his qualities, think about his pastimes, think about his, what he has done for us in our lives. Kamalesh Prabhu is asking, in spiritual world, do new children take birth, or those who are children remain like that? Nobody is children. Everybody, you will find spiritual world, you know, for example, if you are a covered boy who goes with Krishna, you are like 11 or 12 years, you will be remaining like that only there forever. You never grow into 20-year-old man, 25 years, and then eventually you become 50, 60, you got to lose all your tooth. It will never happen. Similarly, Radharani is like 14 and a half. Krishna looks like a 16-year-old lad, young boy. And all the other, there are gopis who are 12 years, 13 years. There are manjaris who are like 7, 8 years, smaller. So everybody remains in the same age only, eternally. And nobody is born there. People only return back there. Just like you, for example, a company sends you, go to some place and do some duty and come. You go to that place, come back to your home, no, again. So the spiritual world is your home. You left home and came to material world. Now you are going to go back to your home. People return back there, that's all. Nirmal Prabhu is asking from Kolkata. You were talking about motivational seminars to increase money, but you see Dr. Vivek Bindra seminars are based on increasing money. I agree that they are based on Bhagavad Gita, but still the goal of Gita is surrender, 18.66. Vivek Bindra is a businessman, and he has two roles. He has a devotee role. When he comes to temple, he will wear dhoti kurta and come, chant, dance with all devotees, take a little kichdi prasadam. He is a disciple of Jonas Gopaksha Maharaj, completely, aligned with teachings of Maharaj. And whenever he writes a book, he puts Maharaj's name and dedicates the book to him. And he also has great respect for Lord Krishna. He is an initiated devotee. He is Venu Madhav Prabhu. And personally, I like him as a very good friend of mine, gem of a devotee in his personal life. And there is another side of his personality, which is professional life. You hear his videos, he will talk about different companies, Nokia, Ramdev Baba, and all that. He will talk about 10,000 crores, 20,000 crores, this company. He knows a lot of information across the globe, isn't it? How to increase your business. That is his profession. Correct, no? That is his profession. One of his ambitions is, in India, there are many people who are very smart, very intelligent, and they should do their professions very successfully. Yeah? And there are very simple tips. And sometimes he gives tips even from Bhagavad Gita for professional businessmen. That is a professional side. Why should we have any problem? When he does that, you know, he's not wearing a dhoti kurta shavanet like I am wearing now. He's not playing a kartal and then saying, I'll teach you profession. He's not doing that. he's in a devotee attire in the temple. When he is a businessman, you see him as a businessman. What is the problem? Like Arjuna, for example. He's a warrior. What do you expect him to do? He takes the bow and arrow and he fights the battle. He's a kshatriya. Similarly, he's a businessman. He will do the business aspects of life. And like you are saying, 18.66, he is also surrendered to Krishna. And also, in his lectures, he clearly says that Bhagavad Gita is a success book. Read the book. And many times he gives very nice things from Bhagavad Gita also. He glorifies Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, tells people to buy and then read it. When people read it, eventually they will become devotees. But you can't expect him to give Bhagavad Gita lectures to the mass of people. Then he can't do his business. Do you expect that Arjuna is sitting in the battlefield and giving a sermon there? He serves Krishna by battling. Similarly, he is a businessman. He does business. Along with that, he gives Krishna to others in his own way. Suraj Bujwalpa is asking, why did Dhruva Maharaj did not get the company of lotus feet of the Lord for service in Vaikuntha, rather getting a separate kingdom to rule instead of doing such a great sadhana? No. Dhruva Maharaj attains Vaikuntha, Vaikuntha airplane comes and takes him. Lord was ready to give him the facility to rule this earth and rule the Dhruvaloka. Why? Because he had the desire and Lord had a desire to fulfill it. But ultimately, Lord told him, you will come back to me. Even for Nalakur Manigrive, Lord delivered them. And he told them, now you go back to heavenly planets. Some people ask, really? Why he didn't take them back to Godhead? And His Holiness Radha Govind Maharaj told in his lecture, Lord sent them to heavenly planets to do preaching in heaven. Because now they are realized fellows. You know, they did some wrong thing in Mandakini Ganga with women and drinking liquor. And then they became trees. Now they saw Krishna's darshan, they became pure devotees. So Lord taught, these are Gandharvas, now let them go back to, their abode and preach to other devatas and make them also devotees. And then at the end of their life, they'll go back to Godhead. Harshad Pura, there are difficulties, obstacles which already mentioned in Kundali. For example, Pitru Dosh, Kalasarpa Dosh, Mangal Dosh. So how can we eradicate these things by doing Krishna Bhakti and not by doing Yajna, which Pandits suggest? Yeah, you do Krishna Bhakti and Krishna will only give you a token punishment if there is a big punishment in your life. He may just give a token and take you ahead. Krishna can completely destroy Prarabdha Karma also for some people. But as a devotee, what we do for Krishna, we do Krishna consciousness. And in case mishap will come in our life, we tell Krishna that even when this difficulty comes, Krishna, let me not forget you. Let me remember you. Let me not give you up and go away. Or we can also pray to Krishna, Krishna, when this difficulty will come, please give me the strength to tolerate it. And remember you. Go on with my devotional service. We can pray like that. And then Krishna will do what is best for us. He knows best. But in case you are very much worried that such things are coming in my life, my graha dosha is there, then there are Vaishnava astrologers. You can... like there is one Anantavala Prabhu in Bangalore. So these they may give you some worship of Lord Narasimha, or worship of Anantashesha, or worship of Sudarshan Chakra. Some mantra they may give you, may do that. Because that is in line with Vaishnava line, we can do that. In case you are very much worried about it. Srinivas Balasubramaniam from Mumbai. What is important among remembrance, chanting and hearing in devotional process? When chanting Lord Krishna's Maha Mantra, is it important to visualize the Lord? Actually, you can't artificially visualize the Lord. It is difficult for us. We can bow down to Lord, pray to Him, and then while chanting, we try to hear the sound. that Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There are cards also. You can see the Mahamantra first and then try to pay attention to it. His Grace Burijan Prabhu has written a book called Japa. Since you are in Mumbai, you can get it from Juhu or Chowpatty temples. That book, if you read, you will get a very good idea how to chant, how to concentrate. Subhadra Mata is asking from Bangalore. I am concerned that my granddaughter of 3 years can be better cared for in terms of food and discipline, like parents often saying no and having to control her playful actions. Also, in regards to food, she can be given grains, but more effort is missing and ends up only with milk. Also, crying of child disturbs me. Can you help, Prabhuji? I am initiated devotee. Yeah. So, say you have certain desires to see your granddaughter paid attention in a certain way. So your daughter-in-law, if she is not able to pay such attention, then you can call your son and tell him, please tell your wife to take care of the child like this. So sometimes there are differences in opinion about between mother, father and grandmother and all, that how we take care of a child. Everybody has their opinions and that's why there are quarrels. Because all are attached to the child, they all have different ways of taking care of the child and there may be differences. And you are initiated devotee also. So you are more fortunate because you are initiated, you are sheltered in Krishna. So if you are a Krishna devotee, what we should do? Do your best and let Krishna do the rest. So you can give your opinion to the daughter-in-law, to the son also. Please take care of the child like this. And if they don't do it, what can we do? Then you can tell them, if you can't do, please let me do. Don't stop me from doing it. I can give certain foods for the child. And because you are elder in age, they may allow you. But too much worrying about this may affect your devotional life, which is not good. Your chanting may get affected. You may develop thoughts of unhappiness. Why are you doing like this? Then you can't chant well. Harin Kumar is asking from Bhopal, can a single person have multiple Diksha Gurus as in different lifetimes? He can be in different planets or in universe. Then what if in case the disciple passed away first and his Guru remains, then who will take his Diksha responsibility for next life? As Narottamadas said, the Diksha Guru doesn't change. And in second case, how can one have the freedom of choosing Diksha Guru as Diksha Guru in that case is fixed? You see, there was one disciple called Raghav Pandit in London. He was reborn in India as a girl in India in the next life. So that girl started going to temple and eventually she met Jolan Bhaktacharya Maharaj and she got initiated by him. And then this girl remembered everything about her previous life as Raghav Pandit in London. Her name is Ratnavali Mataji. So, and Raghav Pandit was Prabhupada's disciple in London. So Raghav Pandit Prabhu saw one beautiful Indian girl with beautiful eyes. So he was a little attracted to her. So when he passed away suddenly due to some reason, the next life he was born with similar type of eyes. He was born as a girl in India. So this girl remembered everything of the previous life. She went to London, met Tribhuvannath Prabhu and all these people whom she knew. So that means his Punarjanma vision is gone. Like that. So we asked Jolan Bhaktacharya Maharaj when he came to Pune, Maharaj, earlier she was Raghav Pandit Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple. Now she has become your disciple. So how do you see? So he told us very nicely. He said, because Prabhupada wants to deliver him, because Prabhupada is not going to come here again, he appoints one of his men to deliver the candidate. Therefore he said, but I don't see her as my disciple. Although I gave initiation, I see her like Raghav Pandit only, like my god brother only I see. Like that Maharaj said. When he came to Pune, we asked him. So you don't worry. Also, after our death, you don't have to worry. If you are going back to Godhead, and one devotee asked Prabhupada, if I come back to Godhead, you know, how will I find you in your eternal form? You may be in a gopi or gopa, we don't know some form. Prabhupada said, that you don't worry. You come to the door, I will take you inside. That's what Prabhupada said. You don't worry. Your guru will arrange somebody to come and take care of in the next life, don't worry. Rohit Prabhu is asking, whenever I hear about soul success is real success, then I develop escaping mentality for material duties. When focused on material duties, I found sometimes aloof from soul success. How to reduce this ganatara in devotional life and remain steady? You can hear this balancing extremes. I spoke it just previous to this seminar, 2 days ago I spoke it. In two parts I spoke it. You can see that, you will get idea there. Srinivas Balasubramanian is asking, if a person in the material world becomes aware after gaining knowledge from a guru or by God's grace through Gita or Bhagavatam that he has taken birth just to reach Krishna Loka or Vaikuntha or Saket Loka, then what will happen about his present duty towards his parents, society? Should he take sannyas or can he remain a householder and still reach Krishna Loka? Actually, the first phase of life is student life, first 25 years. Second phase of life is married life. Third phase is vanaprastha and fourth phase is sannyas. 25, 25, 25, 25. So now, I don't know what is your age now. Say if it is, you are in first 25 years of age, that is called brahmachari training, student training is given. If you wish to marry, you can marry and your wife can do devotion service together. If you don't wish to marry, you have some eagerness to advance in spiritual life alone, yourself, individually, you don't feel a need for marriage, then you can go to this temple. You are in Mumbai, you can go to Juhu temple, Hare Krishna land, or you can go to Chaupari temple, or you can go to Meera Road, whichever area is closer to you. Go there, meet the devotees and tell them you are more interested. Take training and see the Brahmachari ashram, meet the Grihasthas. Both ashramas, you see, whichever one is comfortable for you, you accept it. Either way, Grihasthas go like this back to God, Brahmachari go like this. Ultimately, both go to same place only. Krishna is not going to see what color dress you are wearing at the time of death. He will see what is your heart. In case you have become a lover of God, then you go back to God. In any ashram, one can perfect one's life. So, Anirudh Prabhu is asking. One more question was there earlier about the duty to mother, father and all that, duty to parents and society. Actually, your brahmachari also should complete his studies, do job for a few years, earn money and make sure parents will never be in the street. And they should have a own house, they have enough money. Till the last breath they should get food, bread and butter. He has to ensure that. After that only he can dedicate his life. Even myself in Pune, I have been a president here last 25 years. I would never allow a boy to join the ashram if his family is in financial trouble or his sisters have to be married and father is crying, mother is crying, they want a support. We will not abruptly allow anyone to join like that. We ask them to finish their material duties properly and then only they come. Anirudh Prabhu. And during Pralaya, when water engulfs the lower plant systems, is it the same water that is present in our material world? Yeah, Garbhodak waters. That it rises. That ocean, Garbhodak waters rises. Yeah, correct. And it engulfs all the planets. Totally 14 are there. Almost up to the, leaving the top 2-3. Yeah, all others are engulfed in Pralaya. Yeah. Thank you. So I completed all the questions now and it became a little late today.